Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk to the top Trailblazers beat reporter.
Damian Lillard, you get to the fourth, and he has been amazing.
The ultimate insider on Portland basketball and the NBA.
I think Terry Stotts has been very proactive in communicating.
This is the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick, brought to you on The Fan by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee.
All right, well, the Blazers got smoked in Memphis last night. And I didn't see it. I'd already turned it off. But then Lillard pulls a groin.
Yeah.
That's Damian Lillard, the star player, you know?
I've heard of him. I hear he's pretty good at the round ball.
So he immediately backs out of All-Star Weekend. He will not participate in the three-point contest or the game, replaced by Devin Booker. Here's Jason Quick, our Blazers insider, who is fresh off of a airplane ride, I think. Where were you?
I was in Memphis.
Oh, you were there with the team. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So what, how severe is it?
We don't know really yet. He's getting an MRI today in Chicago. He said he was encouraged when he went back into the locker room and the trainers came back and they had him kind of offer some resistance. And he still had strength in the groin and that gave him some encouragement, you know. He said if he wasn't able to kind of really push against their resistance, that would have worried him. But, you know, I think probably Suit can attest to this more than anyone that groins are a tricky injury and can be easily aggravated, especially when you're a guy like Damian Lillard who kind of cuts a lot and makes the type of moves he makes. So I don't know if it's reasonable for him to be back in 8 days before their next game against February 21st against New Orleans. But I think this is something that you want to make sure you're 100% healed before you come back and play. But it couldn't come in one way. It couldn't come at a better time, but in another way, it couldn't come at a worse time because this team, those two losses were brutal to New Orleans and Memphis, two teams that are right around them, and they didn't show up. They got blown out in New Orleans, and then they were handled by Memphis. And Memphis is my new favorite team in the NBA to watch. If people haven't checked in on them, that is a fun, fun young team. They are a blast to watch.
Yeah, it had a little bit of like what Portland was the last couple of years, right? When they were moving the ball and it was fun. And to your point about the groin thing, I've always said this about groins and hamstrings. The real bitch of them is you can think it's better, right? Because you jog and you run a little bit, but dude, there's nothing that you can do to recreate the explosiveness and the change of directions of putting your foot in the ground that what Damian Lillard plays with. So that's the thing is you can think it's fine. And then you go out on a game and all of a sudden, you know, those are just really hard things because they can linger for a long time. And they're hard to know when you're able to really go out and push it to a game type limit.
Yeah. And see, here's the deal. They've got 26 games left in the season and they're four games behind Memphis and they're down 1-0 to Memphis in the season series. And they only play them three times. So, there's not a lot of margin for error. There's not a lot of time left. And I think they're going to be, you know, against that tough decision of, boy, we really need him, but could he re-aggravate this? And, you know, they got to make a decision on that, on what's more important.
Jason Quick, our Blazers insider. So what happened? I mean, they had some good mojo. And then these two games, everybody's like, oh, these are pretty big, and they're playing better and since the trade, and so this should be good. And then they just get torched. What happened?
I have no idea. And the thing is about New Orleans, that first quarter was one of their best first quarters that they've had all season.
Yeah.
I mean, they were up 16, and they were moving the ball. They were getting deflections out on the fast break. They looked awesome. And then – it just collapsed. They didn't have anyone who could stop Zion inside. I wish I knew, because I look like the biggest idiot of anyone right now, because I really thought that they had turned the corner and that they had kind of found themselves after beating those four really good teams in a row. But obviously that was just a case of Damian Lillard being in another zone. And, you know, that was something that I brought up to Damian last night in the locker room, that it's clear that this team needs you to be at a 40-point level for it to be a factor. And, you know, recognizing that now, how does that kind of play into things? And he said, look, I'm not done. Just because, you know, I had that 12-game stretch and people are saying, okay, that was a nice 12-game stretch, but I still have it in me to do that, and I will do that. If that's what it's going to take for us to get in the playoffs, I will elevate my game to perform at that level. I think that's a huge, huge, huge ask, and I think it's admirable that he takes on that kind of responsibility and is willing to kind of proclaim that publicly. I mean, that's setting yourself up to fail, but that, I think that's the one thing that we all love about him, or respect about him, is that one, he usually backs up what he says, but two, he's willing to go out and definitively say that kind of stuff, that, hey, I'm going to get this team to the playoffs, and if it's going to take me scoring 40 a night again, I'll do that. I think, though, the big question is going to be, and especially now that Damian is kind of dealing with this groin injury, is will CJ McCollum step up? Will he kind of earn his paycheck, so to speak? He hasn't been awful this year, but he hasn't been great. I say he's been pedestrian. 21.3 points, very average shooting percentages. They need this guy to step up. They need him to pull some weight right now with 26 games left. This would be a perfect time for him to become relevant again. I mean, he's been just kind of there all season. And CJ McCollum, you know, he got $100 million extension. $100 million players make some noise. They let you know that, yeah, we're still here. We can win games on a given night. And I don't know if CJ McCollum has single-handedly won the Blazers very many games this year. And it's time for him to do that. Time is running out. 26 games. They're four games out of the eighth spot. They need CJ McCollum to step up big time when play resumes next week.
Can we say, I swear we had this exact same conversation last year with him. And then I know it got better as the year went on in the playoff run, but this was the exact conversation we had last year about CJ and asking the question, what's wrong? What's off?
Yeah, you know, I think right now is a good time to reflect on CJ McCollum, because it's All-Star break. The All-Star game's coming up, and here we are. He's in year seven, and not once has he been in the All-Star conversation. Not once has he deserved to be in the All-Star conversation. I mean, we haven't even got to, oh, boy, he got snubbed, or should he be considered? Who's he up against? He's never even in that conversation. Yet, I think everyone here in town thinks that he's an All-Star level player.
Not me.
And he just has never elevated himself to that level. And, you know, I just haven't seen the, you know, every year Lillard brings something more.
Yeah.
Whether it's improving his defense, improving his shooting range, finishing better at the basket. He's brought something every year, and I don't know that CJ has ever really elevated himself.
He hasn't, and he's still a very good player, but I agree with you 100%, and I think that it's very hard sometimes when we're in the bubble. We you know, fans like their guys, right? So they want to make excuses for their guys, but this happens all over the league where a guy gets paid, and then what motivates them? Right? Are they motivated? What are they motivated by next? And I think CJ has hit that trap. As much as people don't want to admit it, I don't know that he's terribly motivated by winning. I think he's motivated by his points per game. And you see this all over the league. There are guys, these guys are a dime a dozen. They're really good at basketball, but they don't make their teams better necessarily. And he's one of them.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong, Isaac. I think he has it. I think he has the ability to make more of an impact, and I think it's going to be curious to see if he answers the bell here for these final 26 games. I think, you know, obviously the value in having a CJ McCollum is he can win you a game seven like he did last year, because he can catch fire like that, and he has that ability to create his own shot, which is so important in playoffs. But, you know, I think this is shaping up to be, you know, it's Neil Olshay's blind spot. This is his biggest blind spot that he's had since he's been GM here, is that he won't even consider what CJ McCollum can garner him on the trade market. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been an untouchable. And I think we're getting to that level now where he's going to, you know, I was talking with John Hollinger the other night at a game, and we were going over like the worst contracts in the NBA, and he threw CJ in there with the Blake Griffin, Kevin Loves, John Walls. I mean, a lot of those guys are injured, but you know, when you're talking about the money he's going to be making in 2 years and the production that he gives, it doesn't equate. And that's going to end up hurting this franchise unless he kind of makes a big step and starts being a high level player on a more consistent basis.
Last question I had for you was about tanking, and does this ever – see, I think that we've talked about this in the past where guys like Damian Lillard don't want to hear this crap, and I totally understand that. But we're pushing toward the end here. He's hurt now. They're not very good. Hassan Whiteside is suddenly gone. What do you broach that topic with them? Is it a possibility that this team does finally step back and look in the mirror and go, maybe better to call it a season? Or is that just not – in their DNA?
I have broached it with them, and CJ said a few words under his breath and turned around and left. And I asked Terry Stotts about it, and I don't think he's talked to me since. but
they're very good at the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
That's their go-to.
One thing about this team, though, the way the season has transpired is, I don't know how this team tanks. You know, one, that they're so limited in bodies. You know, maybe one way now is that you don't rush Zach Collins back. Maybe you don't play Nurkic extended minutes when he does come back. And maybe you really make sure Damian's groin heals. Those are ways, I guess, you can tank. But they just don't have enough bodies or enough young people where you say, yep, we're going to go a youth movement, or, you know, we're going to do this. You know, Carmelo didn't sign up here to all of a sudden sit on the bench and watch Mario Hezonja or Nasir Little play his minutes. Dame and CJ, that's not in their DNA. So I don't know. I think it's a really hard – it's a hard thing with this roster the way it is, just because they have so many injuries. I think it's hard for them just to go full tank mode.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Because you always think, well, they can always just sit guys, but they don't have any other guys to play.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a decent point. Exactly. So CJ and Stotts, you know, they do the cold shoulder thing because, well, they just get bristly. Lillard doesn't seem that type. I think he's a little more.
Never.
Yeah, right. So so did you talk to him about it? He has more class about it, or at least maybe he'll answer the question. What does he say?
He, you know, Dame has always been consistent in that any team I'm playing on, I think we can win. And that's what he goes out and tries every time. I mean, and the thing is, you know, you hear all that kind of stuff from other people. Dame is so the real deal when it comes to winning. He doesn't give a crap about his stats. He's all about winning and trying. He'll do anything to help a guy become better before he improves his own stats. So Dame would never buy into that. Never. Ever.
Even if you said, well, you're hurt, you're not playing very well as a team, we can help you win more games next year. Why wouldn't he want that?
Maybe, you know, it might. I think it would have, I think the key element to that question would be his injury and how hurt he was. that would be the only thing where I think you could coax him into buying into not playing as much or sitting out.
All right, sir, do you have to go down and cover or up or over to Chicago and cover the All-Star game?
No. I've never done an All-Star game, and I never want to.
Yeah, I can't imagine why you would.
Seems like an S show.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
All right, well, have a good couple days off if you get them, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, see you guys.
Thank you. Jason Quick, our Blazers insider on the Fan. Sports Talk.
I forgot to ask him about Nurkic. Man. I mean, I guess there's not anything there, but
next week. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he hasn't.
Yeah, he's insane. He's been out for like 2 weeks with a calf strain.
CJ, he brings up the CJ conversation.
It's interesting that Hollinger. I know we got a break, but it was interesting that Hollinger brought it up with, one of the worst contracts in the NBA.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let's carve out a segment for that. Maybe we can come back and talk about that before in the news. It's 419 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Zook on 1080 the Fan.
All right, in the news is coming up next. Guess what may be coming to your state, sir?
What do we got?
I'll tell you in our next segment.
I don't know.
It's a great tease.
Then the Hot 5 at 5. Then we talk sports. Then it's Oregon against Colorado at 5:30 live here on The Fan.
Yeah.
Okay, so the CJ McCollum thing is interesting. Quick seemed to think it was the time to have this conversation about him because he is paid. He is locked up. And let me just get his salary number so you have a understanding out there of what he's about to make because
he just signed a three-year $100 million extension,
right? So
he's gonna make $100 million over 3 years. It's a lot of cake that he's about to have.
But as it pertains to the annual the luxury tax rates and everything,
sure,
it varies year to year. He's at 27.5 this year, 29 next year, then 30, 33, and 35.
Yeah.
So that guy's going to be $36 million guy by the end of his contract. Look, it's so hard to sit and trash guys. Like, he's good.
Uh-huh.
He's just, I think people want more. And I think that's fair.
It is fair because the other one that you see, to your point, is, and you brought it up, or maybe it was Quick. And this isn't necessarily a dig at CJ, but when you play alongside Lillard and Lillard comes back every year with a different level, right? The game keeps increasing. It makes CJ look worse because you're like, well, if Dame does it, why doesn't CJ? And the reality is, and this is like, we had this with Rasheed Wallace here, right? Everyone wanted so much more. The reality is he's not Damian Lillard. So in one sense, yes, I agree with you. It's, you should want more out of CJ. But it also, I think, unfairly puts him in a category where we expect you to grow and develop like Damian Lillard. And that's ridiculous because Lillard's a top six, top seven player in the NBA, and CJ's never going
to
be that.
Right. It's like Lillard's wired in a way that he always wants to get better.
Yes.
And he always wants to win. And CJ may not be wired that way.
He may not be that good. I mean, you're talking about...
Well, he's good.
Yes, but he's not... Damian Lillard is special.
But CJ McCollum is really special too. I mean, we've had debates about who is actually a better scorer.
He's gifted. He's not Damian Lillard.
Well, no, he's not in his whole package. But what I'm saying is the reason he's not maybe his mentality.
Yeah.
It's less about his skill and more about the fact that he is... I swear to God, man, this happens all the time. These guys get paid, and what motivates them?
Yeah.
This happens to 90% of people in life. You get life-changing money.
Yeah.
There's only 10% of us that keep striving for more because we're just wired that way. And I think that's Lillard. I don't think that's McCollum. I think McCollum has always been a more of a me first guy than anybody's ever known. That's just always been my view of him. Not to say you can't be a really good NBA player and certainly got paid handsomely, but what does that mean for your team?
Yeah.
And look, when you go to the Western Conference Finals, you know, a lot of the pressure comes off. Like, a lot of the pressure came off Neil Olshey. A lot of the pressure came off Dame and CJ and people saying they couldn't do this or that. They did. They shut a lot of people up with that.
Sure.
But now look, they're back to not being very good. And Olshey made some bad moves and McCollum's the same. And
the only thing
suddenly you're five games under 500.
The only thing I'll say to that is this season has been so funky in that, again, 3/5 of your starting lineup is out. The thing that stops me from giving this a pass is, or kicking it down the road another year, is I brought it up. We had this exact same conversation about CJ last year. Around this time, the exact same conversation. Now, to CJ's credit, he finished the season strong and he had a good postseason run. And there were some times in the postseason where he carried them to victories. He was a monster. Like, he was a beast.
Like Quick said, game seven against Denver.
Yeah, he was that you don't
they
win.
Don't win without him.
No, you don't. So you
and that's what he would say. He'd be like, what is all this? Like, you just keep criticizing. We should give him some credit too.
Yes. And that's where I'm trying to say, like, I'm trying to be fair and say that, you know, the guy's a hell of a player. I think the question becomes, is there a ceiling on him, whether it's self-imposed, you say, you know, whether did you get paid and you kind of, you know, you don't have that mentality, or the fact that, and this is where maybe I would lean to, maybe there is a part of what you're talking about as far as the mentality goes. You get $100 million and it is hard to stay hungry and motivated. It's like they always say, like in boxing, right? It's easy to win the heavyweight title. It's a harder thing to hold on to it because you don't want to die. You don't want to run when, you know, you've gotten paid. The Mike Tyson mentality.
Well, again, to me, I think he's just a lot about offense. He's a lot about his shot.
Sure.
He's a lot about his own. He's just me. I think he's more me first than anybody knows.
But at the same time, this is where I stop because I question. We want every player to be, you know, the very best. We you know, LaMarcus had this, Rashid had this, CJ has this. We all want them to be Clyde. We want them to be Brandon Roy. We want them to be Damian Lillard. We want them to be the top three guys at their position in the league. You want them to be superstars. And this is where I think it does get a bit unfair, whether it's a mentality thing, whether it's a raw level talent issue. Not everyone can be that. Right, there's a reason why Brandon Roy and Clyde and Damian Lillard and the Kobe's and, you know, whatever. There's a reason why those guys are great players. There's a reason you're talking about, you know, Hall of Fame type level players there. And to expect every person to be that, I think it's unfair. LaMarcus here, guy, watch LaMarcus and Zach Randolph to an extent just get drugged through the mud here because we said, well, they're good. You know, he's an all-star, but God, he could be so much better. Could he? Maybe if he had a Kobe Bryant mentality. Shaquille O'Neal was one of the great players of all time. Shaq could have been a lot better if he had a Kobe Bryant mentality. But if you're expecting everyone to be like Kobe, if you're expecting everyone to have this ungodly work ethic and be this well-rounded player and come back every single year, you're going to be vastly disappointed in 99.9% of the NBA.
Yeah, I think maybe we should stop short of it's less to be critical of the player. It's more to, I think where more fans may be coming from is just how does it fit with the team and is this the best way to get where we want to go?
I think that is a much fairer and more realistic.
Well, it's way fair. Yes. Look, well, first of all, on the unfair stuff, people are always going to be unfair. That dude makes $100 million. Yeah. You suck it up. Handle it. And I think he does. I mean, I don't see him getting into it with fans or getting all that bristly. I know that he can be difficult to cover from the people that I talk to that cover him. CJ is pretty aloof. He's not as open. He's much more guarded. So that's just him.
Yeah.
And perhaps that maybe leads some to maybe not connect with him quite the same way that Lillard has connected with a lot of fans, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just him. But I think more it's from the perspective of, hey, the team needs him right now. Like, yeah,
it's time to go.
And if you don't have it, okay, it may be unfair to criticize you because of all these good things you do. But hey, let's get somebody in here who does.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
You want to win. And that's the thing about some of these signings that I haven't liked. It's the same conversation with Hassan Whiteside. And I think it's the same conversation with Carmelo Anthony. I don't like either of those, the makeup of either of those players.
Yeah.
Their games are great. Like, they're really good at what they do. CJ falls into this too. I just think these are the types of players that fill stat sheets but don't help you win games as much as other types of players. And I like the latter.
Sure.
And if I'm a fan, I want more of the latter. It has nothing to do with Hassan Whiteside sucking. He doesn't suck. But I just don't think these guys, and CJ is, I think, fairly being called out as maybe one of them, they just don't help you win as much as you need them to because they are key pieces of what you do.
Well, especially when you're making $100 million. And with CJ, you are the piece outside of Lillard, right?
The
building block is Damian and it's CJ. And so, yes, with that contract does come added criticism, added pressure.
Some of, and let me explain a couple of little examples of what I mean. Last night, Carmelo Anthony was going after somebody. I forget, he was going one-on-one with somebody, and he got a couple of rebounds. It was just, I mean, it was him going right back at the same guy. And the guy blocked his shot on the third try, I think, and the Grizzlies got it and, you know, rolled out for a secondary break, right?
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony sat on the other end of the court and bitched at the ref. Meanwhile, if you watch what happened on the other end when Memphis rolled down with the ball, they carved up 4-on-5. What do you think is going to happen? Yeah. It's that kind of stuff. It's CJ's defense, general defense. It's not good.
No.
It's not good.
No.
So it's things like that. It's like if Hassan Whiteside was out to lunch last night, I'm not sure why.
Last two games.
I don't know where his head is.
He's been dominated.
It's that. Yeah. You are a professional, man. You make millions of dollars. What is this?
Didn't he have 0 points and 2 rebounds at halftime or something?
Yes. Yeah, it was I don't bad. Understand it.
And is what Lillard would tell you, too, is everyone, because I get it, right? And I think there's some of this, the getting close to the All-Star break, right? You're kind of worn down. It's been a long year. But to Lillard's point, and this is why Lillard's different, he understands that game, yes, these last two games, are the difference between making the playoffs and not. And that goes back to your point about the mentality. I wonder in the Hassan Whitesides of the world, if you're sitting here with 30 games, or I think it's 26 or whatever it is left to play, I wonder if you realize, or it's the mentality of every game right now matters, whereas a guy like Damian Lillard, you see him when they got the goaltending call that went against him in Utah. He what was he saying? Damn right I'm pissed. That cost us the game. We're fighting for our playoff
lives.
That's
right.
And that's the mentality of a Lillard versus the mentality of a Whiteside.
Another example with CJ to me is I think sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes in games, he looks up at the scoreboard and sees that he's or maybe he's just feeling he's not involved as much, and he just kind of goes on his own.
Yeah.
And he's offensively, he's good enough to do that.
Absolutely.
Get you some points. But at the same time, does that really help the team? Lillard gets everybody involved.
Yeah.
He reads the game. He sees the defense. He sees what they're trying to do, and within his team gets the ball to the right. He makes the right play more often, right? That's how you help your team win, regardless of scoring 45 or you want to score 30 because you want to show this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. And it's small. It's subtle. But if you watch some of these guys, not all, this is why last year's team, I think, was fun. Guys like Al-Farouq Aminu and Maurice Harkless and Myers Leonard, Evan Turner fit in well with this.
Ed Davis was like this.
Ed Davis was like this. These are guys that will do, they know their roles. They'll do anything they can. Now, they're not nearly as talented as the three, Melo, Whiteside, and TJ.
Yeah.
But all those guys together working in the same direction, look where that got them.
Yep.
That was a good team.
Well, and even CJ in the playoffs, I thought CJ played much better defense in the playoffs. I thought there were times where we were like, God, where was this? Like, you were like, maybe this is the next evolution. And then, you know, it was kind of fleeting.
So anyway, it's not, none of it's exact. None of it is like absolute. It's just, if you watch him enough, there's something missing. And guys need to take culpability for that. And the one guy that really shouldn't is Damian Lillard. He's doing everything he can.
Everything.
So other guys need to do the same,
yeah,
even though they're not paid quite as much. All right, in the news is next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Oregon Ducks basketball coming up at 5:30. No club tonight. I think Suk's out tomorrow. Are you out tomorrow?
I am out tomorrow.
Well, get this. Luke Anderson is in.
Ooh. Now, are you sliding over here?
I don't know.
I'm guessing you will because you...
Probably.
Yeah.
I'll come in late and just sit there.
250. I'll do what I normally do.
Yeah, I'm going to pull a big souk. It's easy.
It's
you
the
got
way
the
to
easy
go.
Job over
I
there.
I do. I'm living the dream.
But we will have a club. I can guarantee you that.
Yes.
From 6 to 7 tomorrow. We will talk in the club tomorrow about, although I would like to talk about this with you when you get back, the non-recline movement that's happening.
Oh, yeah.
On airplanes.
Yeah, amen to that. It's about damn time.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm going to Vegas, so I may not be back.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, hopefully we see you.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Knock on wood.
It is February 13th, 2020. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Today is National Breakup with Your Carrier Day.
Breakup with Your Carrier?
Yeah, like phone carrier.
Oh, okay.
At least that's what the thing said.
Why?
I don't know. Stupid.
My carrier just merged. Like, I had T-Mobile, and now it's they merged with Sprint, and so I don't know if I have T-Mobile or Sprint. I don't know who bought who.
I think it's sprint.
So I was going to make a stupid joke, and I figured I wouldn't.
Why? This is radio, Mike.
Well, because it was stupid, and I didn't want to get made fun of.
We love stupid jokes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the king of stupid jokes. God, I built a career on it.
Pretty much. 15 years.
It is also Kiss Day, so...
Like smooch or is like the
like
band?
No,
like
smooch.
Like a kiss.
Smoochy, smoochy.
Okay. You want to make out?
No.
All right. Mike?
Hot sports betting note.
Maybe. We'll see.
XFL has been added to the Oregon Lottery scoreboard.
Well, it's about time.
So you can now bet on the XFL games.
Did you see they tagged me in that tweet?
No.
I don't know why.
Because you're Mike Lynch.
Well, I know. I interacted with them once, and they shared one of my tweets on their thing. But they posted that this morning, and I'm like, okay, cool. Why are you tagging me?
I guess.
Well, you're the king of holding back stupid jokes. They
exactly.
love that.
Oh, great.
Now, did you see that our Seattle Dragons, they have sold 25,000-plus tickets to that thing.
The opener?
Yeah, the home opener is this weekend, and they're hoping to get 30.
Oh.
But, yeah, they've got over 25,000 people that are going to show up to that.
Well, that's amazing.
Yes.
Although I did read today that they – The pundits believe that they're the worst team in the league.
Oh. Well.
And they're already 0-1.
Hey, but people want to show up. I wonder if I go on StubHub. Like, what are those seats going
yeah.
for?
Give me a price.
I'm on my way.
Let's go see our boy Mike Riley.
Where have you guys been?
Where have you guys been?
Legalized sports gambling within Washington State's tribal casinos took another step forward Tuesday.
Well, it's about time.
A House Appropriations Committee voted 25-7 to forward sports gambling bill HB 2638 to a possible full floor vote before the March 13th end of this year's shortened legislative session. So again, this is only for tribal casinos to pop up sports books.
Huh.
But we have Alan A right there.
Yeah, so.
It's
about time.
And aren't there a bunch of casinos up there in Washington, tribal casinos, like right on I-5?
Yeah, if you drive up north, you get up near Seattle, you got like the Emerald Queen, and there's a bunch of them up there. But yeah, Alan A would be by far the closest sports book that we would have.
I wonder if they're prepping for this, Alan A.
I don't know. Well, I remember we were up there when they opened, we were talking to the guy, and it was he off the air. He couldn't say anything officially, but he was like, oh, it's something we're interested in. But he did say that it's got to get by the government before they do anything.
Well, it sounds like it is. So what they're saying is, if passed by the House, it would follow with a similar Senate vote. There's a companion bill over there. The sports gambling initiative could be forwarded to Governor Jay Inslee by this spring. It is getting bipartisan and overwhelming support. Like, everybody loves it. And the reason they love it is because they think it's a nice hedge to not... Well, I'll read the guy's quote. Some guy named Drew Stokesberry.
Yeah.
He said, this is a reasonable middle ground. I think it threads the needle nicely. It permits adults who are responsible to engage in an activity that doesn't harm other people, but it doesn't make it so prevalent or so pervasive in our society that we as a legislature have to worry about the morality and ethics of that.
God.
That is Drew.
At least people have finally woken up and realized that people want to gamble. You know, and give them what they want. And then, by the way, the state can make a little coin off of it.
This guy says, the guy in charge says that it has so much support from both parties that he figures it's really a formality that a floor vote will be held quickly. He says, I'm hoping we can get it on the floor next week. I still need to talk to a lot of people about it and make sure everybody's comfortable with it because it is an expansion of gambling.
Well, if this happens, you know ALNA will have a book up within, what, a month? 2 months.
Well, that's what I was saying. I surely they have something
they know
that's prepared.
Yeah.
If not, they're losing revenue.
Exactly. By the way, I looked it up. And
how much?
You can get in for about $30, $30-$35. Best seat in the house costs you about $100, maybe $125.
So let's hedge and say $50.
Sure. And by the way, they've roped off the top. You can't. It's only lower bowl seating at the clink. Essentially.
So let's say $50, $20 for parking, don't you think?
Probably.
Down there.
Yeah, but you can park around the stadium for probably $10 if you don't mind walking a couple blocks.
I'll give you $10.
Yeah, you get $10 parking.
Beers. It's gonna be $100 day.
Sure.
With
You know, for $30, $40, $50, there's not a bad seat. You're in the lower bowl.
That's true.
Decent value. It's not like you're paying $50 to be in the you ever sat at the top of CenturyLink?
No.
It's awful. Like, you can't...
No.
You can't see crap. terrible CDC.
Way up there.
Yeah, it's bad.
All right, coming up next, the Oregon Department of Forestry is about to go broke. It's 447 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up next, Hot 5-5 sports stories, and then the Ducks. Oregon is playing Colorado tonight.
First place Colorado.
Very big game. Yes, because if the Ducks win, they tie the Buffs atop the Pac-12. Okay, if you're making good money in Milwaukee, watch out. They're coming for it. The Regional Governing Council Metro is considering a ballot measure that would tax higher income earners to fund homeless services.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Go after those rich bastards with all the money, right? Because that's always the way.
Well, I don't know how rich, like this. Okay, so if you make more than $125,000 a year, or a couples that make more than $250,000 a year.
Now we're paying for the homeless.
They want to initiate a 1% income tax on those folks down there.
Because that's going to go real well for everybody.
Again, this is Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
It would be a progressive tax, so that percentage would vary a little based on income. So in other words, the more you made, the more you
taxed. I'm going to try not to get on my high horse about this one and just got to let it pass.
A lot of people they interviewed down there said they disagree, shockingly disagree with that.
Punish the people for doing well so that we cannot solve the homeless problem. Because I guarantee the 1% isn't going to solve crap.
Well, again, I just think that they're getting... My blanket thought on all of this tax stuff is they get plenty of taxes.
Yes.
It's there.
Exactly.
Just make it happen.
We just don't.
Make it work. You don't need more.
No. No.
All right. What was the other thing I teased? Bill.
Although, with the 1%, what about taking to the high seas? Because that might get my 1% if we're ready to implement my ARC idea. I don't know why anyone from the city won't call me up.
Bum Voyage. They build a big boat. They get it up here.
It worked for Noah.
And they throw them all on there.
Yeah.
But you would be willing to for them to implement that idea, they would, let's say, a 2.5% income tax on you.
No.
You're okay with that?
2.5%. I thought you said 1%.
Well, it was 1% down there, but yeah, now it's more expensive here.
But here's the thing. My Bum Voyage pays for itself because, you know, we film it. Reality television, it generates money. The program pays for itself.
The Oregon Department of Forestry is about to go broke.
Yeah, I saw that one.
How about that?
Speaking of needing more money.
Yeah, well, and these, you can't, like, this is like must bailout. Like,
who's going to rake the forest? You've got to rake the floors.
Yeah, so it says, is that a birdie? Par. Damn it.
Rob's being distracted by Tony Finau right now.
Shot a 38 on the back. That's not going to cut it.
No.
7 months into the state's two-year budget cycle, officials at the Oregon Department of Forestry say that they have blown through most of the budget that lawmakers approved and are asking lawmakers for an emergency cash infusion. They want from $52 to $132 million.
I feel like government agencies are like your bratty kid when you give them an allowance, and then they come to you halfway through the week and are like, I need more. I just gave it to you. I spent it. Well, you knew how much you had. I don't know what to tell you, Dad. I'm out of money. I needed an advance on the allowance.
They say it's a Band-Aid fix for a structural problem, and it comes as lawmakers and the governor are looking to expand the agency even further. They're sponsoring bills that would bolster the agency's firefighting capabilities and forest restoration work. So how did they get to this point?
Yeah, therein lies the question.
Boy, doesn't it?
That's a lot. I mean, it seems like a bit of an oopsie.
The spokeswoman for the agency said, "This is new ground for us. We haven't put in a request like this in the past, especially in a short session, so we haven't really heard how that's going to move." The agency's problems come as no surprise. That's not true. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
It has been bumping along at the edge of financial abyss for months due to delays in invoicing and collecting reimbursements for firefighting costs, primarily from the federal government.
Ah, the stupid feds.
God. The agency currently...
Why can't you just get the feds to pay you what they owe you as opposed to getting more from the locals?
Yeah. Well, let's read on.
Okay. Let's go on this journey together.
The agency currently has $103 million in outstanding receivables, $17 million of which date back to 2015. Of the $103 million, the agency still needs to invoice more than half. God.
Yikes. So we got a bookkeeping issue.
They borrowed money from the Treasury. They tapped internal reserves. They paid off its payroll borrowing in January. It says it plans to pay off a $25 million line of credit with Treasury in April. I mean, they just got all kinds of... Who runs this?
Again, this goes back to the point we just talked about. There's enough money there. They just don't use it well. So I have a hard time with the, we don't have any money left.
Firefighting costs have gone up, and we've had a lot of fires and stuff, and, you know, fire.
Well, again, you got to rake the forest floors. But the big man said that. That's not cheap.
they need a bailout.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we can't just let them...
I'm tired of bailouts.
...fold like a pair of twos. Can we?
Yeah. Maybe. Although that does kind of seem like an important thing.
Yeah, they insist they need a similar permanent solution to the one that the U.S. Forest Service got until Congress gave it access to disaster funding to cover its large fire costs.
But at the same time, it sounds like they're sending out bills. They're just not getting paid. Can't they just?
I read that as they still haven't even invoiced. Yeah, so a lot of it.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
A bit odd. It's like, hey,
Betty's falling asleep back there.
Yeah, like, hey, we're out of money, but these people over here owe us this money.
Maybe, I'm sorry.
Maybe send them the bill.
Start.
Like, if I'm broke and I need $50 and you owe me $50. Maybe ask for the $50.
Venmo. I'll Venmo.
Maybe ask for the money. I don't know.
You can request on Venmo.
Yeah, you can.
I've never done that.
No?
You can. No. No, I would never do that.
I like where, like, the people now on Instagram or, like Twitter, if you see them, like the hots, they just put out, like, their Venmo or like, Cash App address.
They do? Just, yeah. And then just people send them money?
Yeah. Yeah, there's
for
like,
what?
There's being hot. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, they'll just be like, hey, by the way, I'm hot and... Yeah, send me money. I've seen it where like they'll like someone will have a post where it's just like, someone send me $20. I'm lonely. And you're like, what? Like, how does that work? Or Amazon wish list? Like, people just put out like a list on Amazon. It's like, I would like someone to buy me this. And then they just like, they throw it out there into the world and hope that someone's like, well, I'll buy that for you.
What a time to be alive.
Boy, I tell you what. I think if you're hot, I don't think it works for me. I don't think like... bald radio host can put out like a link and be like, hey, someone want to buy me something? I don't think that works.
I want every listener to Venmo me $1 right now.
Yeah, see what happens.
Much.
Goes to the ROP fund.
Just $1. All right, that's in the news, February 13th. Coming up next, the Hot 5 at 5. We'll have an update on Damian Lillard's status and a golf tournament update because I love this tournament. This Genesis Invitational here. They're at Riviera. Great tournament. And, I've got a clip of Jim Crane, the Astros owner. If you have missed what he said, he's stirred up quite a hornet's nest with his comments today. So all of that is coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.